C-168. Number 10A.
Now, we can ask ourselves, where are we today? Which means, from where did we come? What is our present position? And therefore, we can ask what lies in the future. The best answer I think I could give recently was in my red booklet. Again, I come back to the spiritual breakthrough, to the next millennium, where I was really showing how the idea of science evolved through the Bible, after the Bible up to the Christian Science textbook, to the 6,000-year period, which naturally means that the periods are going on, that there will be a 7,000-year period, and that is lying in front of us. So through extrapolation of what has gone on before, we can somehow find out what is coming, namely the 7,000-year period, which is of the sense of universality. It was interesting how suddenly I have taken up that project of the 1,000-year period, no more so much as showing how the 1,000-year period developed through the seventh synonymous term. That was a subject since 1939 that was constantly presented by John Dorley, afterwards by the students of John Dorley, up to the nth degree. So there was nothing new that I could contribute. But when I was studying the chapter on Genesis and somehow went back to the old reports on the science of the Bible, I suddenly found something in number 22 of John Dorley's Bible reports, which at that time when I studied it, that was at the end of the 1940s, I really underlined and made remarks on the side note, and it must have somehow touched me there, and then I had forgotten all about it. And since then, nobody ever talked about that anymore. And then suddenly my eyes fell again on it, and suddenly I saw, my golly, this is terrific. So within a few notes and few sentences, John Dorley has somehow seen that whole new subject, that fundamentally we have to deal with reality. It's always right through all religions went that whole tone, what is reality? But also with that question, how can we become one with that reality? How can we be, how can we understand that reality or approach that reality? And we knew that spiritual teaching must always be through symbols. Therefore, all religion used symbols of various kinds, crude symbols at the beginning, then refining the symbols. As we rise, then the symbols begin to disappear until finally the symbols give way to reality itself. So I realized really the importance of what was shown there, that the relationship between reality and symbolization of reality would change, but not only the symbols would change, but also how that symbol is symbolized within our consciousness, within another form of consciousness. And so at that point, I suddenly began to touch on that subject. And perhaps you remember in the summer school when I did the chapter on Genesis, I spent 15 minutes at the end just on that subject. The next summer school, I spent about an hour on that subject. And another summer school, I spent in about 9 or 10 hours on that subject. And finally, I felt, well, I have got it somehow clear enough in my spiritual sense that I could write a booklet about it. Keep it warm. It is, so to say, our guiding book that shows where we should be today, and mostly we aren't yet today where we should be. Most Christian Scientists are still in the fourth or even in the 3,000-year period of consciousness, some in the fourth, very few in the fifth, and very seldom we feel that we meet students that are absorbing really the 6,000-year period form of consciousness, though we are already at the brink for another paradigm shift in the form of consciousness for the next 1,000-year period. So this would give us a guiding line how the idea developed, where we are, where we should be today, and how we can prepare ourselves really to make a new step into the future, into that 7,000-year period where really reality are the seven synonymous terms, and the symbol for that reality are also the seven synonymous terms, and no more the ideas of the seven synonymous terms, but the tonality of the seven synonymous terms, the tonality of the categories of those seven synonymous terms and the capitalized term. So we see at least where we are and what is demanded of us, so that we see that we cannot enter into the 7,000-year period before we have not got the tonality of our capitalized term. And therefore, our whole devotion should go into that line of really making the letter of that very complex presentation of science that we have up to now, to make that now a quality of consciousness that is not thinking, but that is really a state of atmosphere within us that responds automatically to the interference factors. This is the guiding line. Now, when I asked that question in this last hour, where are we? We can also somehow pinpoint really our present stage, perhaps in another way. There are always various aspects with which we can measure a situation and the position. And one of these measurements I would like to bring out now. It is something that just struck me a few weeks ago when I was thinking about the summer school and was thinking about the development of the idea. And suddenly I could see that somehow, without that I'm a believer in numbers, sometimes it seems that God is really a master also over numbers and over time. Just as we had the numbers of the seven and the numbers of the 7,000-year period, and can see that they really realized themselves in the development of the idea, one could really see that there are four periods that we have to take into consciousness since 1966, since the revelation of that Mrs. Eddy had. It seems that it always had taken 40 years to accomplish another period. The very first period was Mrs. Eddy's period, when for the first time in 1970 she published her first attempt of a teaching book, namely The Science of Man, which afterwards was incorporated into the textbook as Recapitulation. So she brought out that Science of Man, which was the textbook for class instruction for her at that time. And it took another 40 years to bring that textbook until 1910 to its final form. What period is symbolizing is actually the consecutive revelation of the science of Christian Science. We had those seven main revisions which showed how the initial influx of light was that was unstructured, that how that began to be structured more and more in those seven main revisions, until at the end of it, 1910, we had the final textbook with its final structure. That was a period of revelation. Then, from 1910 to 1950, when John Dorley left us, John Dorley went through class just a few days after Mrs. Eddy passed on, and so to say took up the idea without knowing that he would be, so to say, the one who would lead on the centuries. And his work that lasted until 1950 took up another 40 years of discovery. What was his contribution? Whereas Mrs. Eddy was engaged in writing down her revelation of science, John Dorley's contribution was to discover really what that revelation was. Even Mrs. Eddy did not know what her revelation really was. We have those statements of hers that show that for a long time she would not know it, because she said only in the year 1907, on that 10th of June, she read Science and Health through consecutively in order to elucidate her idealism. It was at that time that she made those big changes, namely the definition of God she changed. She changed also that, or introduced that sense of principle and idea is one, and this one is God. So as, so to say, to finish up really the scientific presentation of her textbook. So it was her revelation. She also said 6 months before she left us to the publisher that only now she begins to understand what she has discovered. So it was up to John Dorley really to discover what she has, what has been revealed to her. Naturally, we called Mrs. Eddy the discoverer of Christian Science. Yes, she discovered it, but John Dorley discovered what that discovery is, and he began to show really the fundamentals that would constitute the science that Mrs. Eddy was presenting in the textbook. Mrs. Eddy herself did not present in the textbook in a clearly stated way that she would say, look here, I have discovered something about the infinite God, the infinite one. You can understand that infinite one through three main categories. Those three main categories are the seven and the four and the four. And in order that you know that these are the my main three categories, I'm going to capitalize those 15 root notions. She didn't say that. She could have said that if she would have had, if she would have liked to, or if it was her job to explain her revelation. So all those categories of being were somehow hidden into a big text. And you know how Mrs. Eddy said at the end of her life, I have hidden and hidden my discovery, and I can't hide it anymore, or it will never be discovered. So she knew that the science of it, the deep structure of her discovery, was not spelled out in clear terms, but was embedded in a whole text that would bring it out. And so it was hidden, like a leaven hidden in the whole lump, but that leaven would really act and act and act until then it could be discovered what her revelation was. That was, to my sense, Mr. Dorley's contribution to the idea. He himself didn't have the scientific tools through his education in order really to recognize what he discovered in the revelation of God. But he had a terrific spiritual sense that would enable him unconsciously of the lack of scientific tools reveal just the same what was Mrs. Eddy's discovery. But he would not be able, and the time in which he lived did not give him the right tools really also from the field of science to define really what he was discovering. So he left to us really a discovery of Mrs. Eddy's revelation in terms that were much more brought out through spiritual sense than through scientific tools, which he could define and show that these are the scientific tools of the world. When he left, therefore, another step, another period was breaking in. And we can see that today we are not at the same point where John Dolly left us, that we are not working, so to say, with the same tools, namely just with spiritual sense that was touching the scientific sense of it, but he left it to the next generation really to give to his spiritual sense also the scientific sense, together with the scientific tools, together with the method how to approach his discovery. So from that point on, we have seen over the last few hours how what has evolved afterwards, and we can say with all honesty and also with all humility and meekness that a great lot has been unfolded since John Dolly, that we are no more teaching the science as we would have taught it in the year 1950 or 49, that our teaching is completely different today. If you listen to a class in the educational program, that educational program teaches what John Dolly has found through his spiritual sense in a way that would have been absolutely impossible at that time. And I think back the way I had to teach these subjects that are now being taught in the educational program here, there is such, it's a league of difference. There is hardly anything anymore to be compared. Well, that indicates that the great development had gone on within the last 40 years. So since 1950, in the course of another 40 years, we are nearly at the end of those 40 years, something has been brought into play that had much more a scientific nature. If perhaps one would try to reduce the contribution that I have given in those 40 years, perhaps one could say I have given the method, the scientific method with which to handle John Dolly's discovery. A scientific method, and a method is also that which says that science is not only knowledge reduced to law and put in reduced to law and put into a system, but also the second part of a definition of science, namely that it also gives us the method for the discovery of new truth on that basis. So I showed you that my basis over all these 40 years was always what John Dolly had seen. That I always showed that my roots are way back in what John Dolly has given. That I have taken, have adopted no other roots but that which was laid out in John Dolly, and he had no other roots but the Bible and the textbook. So that tree should really grow healthy, in a healthy way and in a strong way, because it goes always back to the true roots. Therefore, what was the contribution of the last 40 years, of that third period of 40 years that we have now, so to say, in our past, that we have trod through? And one can see that while Mrs. Eddy was giving really her revelation through that wonderful transparent mentality which she had, which she said, I didn't add anything to it, I didn't write science and health, I was just a transparency for the truth, that truth could flow through me, and I was a scribe unto order. So her attitude was that attitude of a complete transparency of consciousness. Mr. Dorley then had another kind of contribution in regard to his consciousness. He had a very cultured spiritual sense, a spiritual sense that was probed by his life experience, by his healing experience, by his experience as a teacher, as a lecturer, and a practitioner. That was a probed spiritual sense on which he could rely, and it was that spiritual sense, that intuition, that spiritual inspiration that made him able really to be also transparent now for discovery what has been revealed. What I did was not so much that I was a clear transparency, not at all, not that I had that which John Dorley had, that wonderful spiritual sense that was proved through life experience, through long life experience and long life practice. Somehow I brought something else as a contribution into the whole field of the development of the idea, and that is, I think, my methodology. I showed method. I showed how to study the synonymous stone. I showed the rules that have to be applied to study the seventh synonymous stone. I showed how to interpret the text. What are the scientific rules of scientific interpretation? I always showed tools. I always showed method. I always showed that everybody can get hold of it if he takes the right method. Method that is naturally a tool of science. And so my whole endeavor was always to say, look here, I'm not a big shot, but I can give you the help and the helping hand so that you can understand what John Dorley was giving. More and more I hear from the students that they say, if I would only have John Dorley's literature and books, I would have never understood what John Dorley was striving at. And that's true. It needs another contribution. It needs that scientific consciousness which knows the scientific tools, which knows how to handle laws and orders and rules and systems, knows how to define really those systems, those categories, and sort them out, and to always show and to be able to show how one thing flows out of another thing, to show really the methodology that has to be used in applying the system, not applying it to practice so much, to the healing practice, but applying it for something much bigger, namely for getting a higher understanding of it, a better and a securer and a healthier understanding of the science. I think that was my contribution. My contribution, I guess, was to give scientific criteria with which to measure really the findings of Mr. Dorley, in order just to adopt and accept what Dorley said and just saying, well, he was a big guy, and he was a big guy. He was an absolute big caliber of the first magnitude, but what's the use of it if one doesn't understand him? What's the use of Einstein if you don't understand Einstein? Einstein came and gave those new theories, and all the physicists in the world could not understand it, except one could understand it at the beginning. And so what's the use of presenting a new system, a new science, if one cannot understand it, if one doesn't have the method, the means, how to approach it, how to get hold of it, how to go really deep into it and make it one's own. So I always try to give scientific criteria in handling the various aspects of the system. The criteria of text interpretation, the criteria of synonym analysis, the criteria of the levels. I always gave the scientific criteria. Whenever I speak about scientific criteria that should, which should be a standard of measurement for what we have, what we present, I always find a dead ear wherever I go, because they don't like that. They like much more their sentiment and their spiritual sentiment with which to take up Chandoli's science. We cannot take up any science with sentiment, not even if those sentiments are pure, not even if those sentiments are genuine. We can't. Science can only be understood through science. That's what we see in the 6,000-year period, that the reality is science, and its symbol is science, so that science can only be understood through science. These are the big things. And so that led really to another contribution of mine, where I began to teach much more what already Dorley taught and said, get the tonality of it, get the tonality of the capitalized terms. But I said, go further than that, get the tonality of categories, think in categories, don't think in isolated capitalized terms, and anyway not in isolated ideas. Think in categories. Think in the intertwining of categories. Think in this way that your consciousness is structured, so that your consciousness is a structured consciousness, so that we are not only thinking in categories, but suddenly also in structures, that we have a structural consciousness. Not only a structural consciousness, that structural consciousness is a very dynamic consciousness. Think, therefore, in all the levels, think in cybernetic laws. Think in flow chart laws. So that the cybernetic consciousness is that which today seems to be the highest form of consciousness that we can get hold of at the moment. And I wouldn't know which other higher consciousness could come except something that is far away still, namely the consciousness of the 8,000-year period, the consciousness of the I am that I am. But that is for us far away, because there is still a lot to be get rid of within our consciousness which does not coincide and is not in agreement with the I am that I am. And so this step will help us to get there, and therefore we must see that we are thinking in cybernetic laws, that we get used to it, not to think in a diachronic line, in a line that is ordered in time, but in a consciousness that is coined through a matrix that is actually synchronic, so that everything is falling into place right away, and not only one fact after the other fact.